Hello, and welcome to the West Valley News Digest. I am Gayla Weigel Robinson, your volunteer reader. I start off with news of the week from the West Valley View, the newspaper of Avondale, Buckeye, Goodyear, Litchfield Park, and Tolleson. Approximately 20 minutes after the hour, I'll read from the Wickenburg Sun. And around the half hour, I'll start reading news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. Some of those news stories I'll be reading: The Pinatas, Love in Walmart Aisles. Wickenburg named Top Senior Travel Destination. Glendale PD says car crash into tanker may have been suicide attempt. Peoria Unified School Council are honored with statewide award. African grocery store opens doors in Surprise. Our first news story then, from the February 12th weekly edition of the West Valley View, The Pinatas, Love in Walmart Aisles, by Alicia Vetner, West Valley View staff writer. Avondale knows Mike Pineda as the mayor, a longtime resident and civic leader. However, 30 years ago, he was just a 20-year-old NAU student who landed a job at the courtesy desk of the Valley's only Walmart. Soon after he started, he noticed Olivia Martinez, an 18-year-old co-worker, straightening racks of clothes in the girls' section while heading to the break room. Although he was usually outspoken and confident, Pineda felt nervous around Olivia and inquired about her through his co-workers. "I was not shy at all, that's just it. I just, for whatever reason, didn't approach her," Pineda said. A part-time worker attending ASU, Olivia, whose name he learned from other Walmart employees, and Mike eventually flirted throughout the workday, hung out at lunch breaks, and after clocking out. They spoke later that first day when Olivia was heading to the nearby Whataburger with a coworker for lunch. Pineda told her he wanted a fry. "I'm like, just one French fry?" he said. "You know what I meant," she said, laughing. Pineda was the drummer in a band, so he invited her to a gig. "She went with me to the show, and it was a successful show," Pineda said. "We chatted a little bit and got to know each other. We just started talking, and that was it. We started going on little dates here and there." He would invite all the girls from Walmart to his band, Olivia jokingly teased. After 2 years of dating, nearly 28 years of marriage and 4 children, Mike and Olivia have several memories to look back on with love. They have never forgotten, however, the memories of their love blossoming in the Walmart aisles. "I mean, who knew I was going to meet my future wife at a Walmart, at a part-time job, and her as well," he said. The couple visited the Walmart at the intersection of 75th Avenue and McDowell Road on January 16th. Things were certainly different in the 1990s. The store was significantly smaller. There wasn't a true produce section, and there was only one entrance. What remained, they learned, were some of the employees. The Walmart staff surprised Mike and Olivia with a Valentine's Day-themed gift basket, reminiscing with the pair. "I was only here for 3 months, but look what happened in 3 months," Mike said. Jokingly, Olivia said Walmart should have sponsored their wedding. That was The Pinatas, Love in Walmart Aisles. Our next story, LESD Board President Resigns, by Alicia Vetner, West Valley View staff writer. Liberty Elementary School District President Brian Parks resigned on Friday, February 7th, following a heated governing board meeting earlier in the week, accusing the district of poor working conditions, overcrowded classrooms, and financial mismanagement. Dozens of parents and teachers attended the meeting after a third of the student board did not show up to class that day for a sick-out protest, and a petition had circulated calling for the recall of Board Vice President Christopher Kenyon and Parks. Parks specifically is accused of threatening personnel and racist remarks, with petitioners posting audio recordings online of his alleged inappropriate behavior. Though initially seeming prepared to weather the backlash from parents and teachers alike, Parks stepped down a few days after the meeting. "My number one reason for the dedicated work has always been putting students first," his resignation letter said. "If at any time I am getting in the way of that mission, I need to step back and reevaluate if I can continue to be effective in my role as a governing board member. In addition, my priority must be to my family and my business, and due to the invasion of my personal privacy, including relentless attacks and threats against myself, family, and my business ventures, I must make a difficult decision to step down," the letter continued. Former school board member Paul Jensen is among those frustrated parents calling for Park's resignation, speaking during the public comment section of the February 3rd meeting. He claims that the district is using misinformation. "Research shows that the most influential factor for student learning is their classroom teacher," Jensen said. "That is why I'm so focused on making sure teachers are listened to, because teacher-focused is student-focused." During the meeting, Parks addressed some of the parents' concerns, noting that the district is constructing a new school building to reduce classroom overcrowding, and that the district is working with state legislation for discipline funding and pushing for teacher pay increases. "Can we please stop the false narrative that this board does not support or listen to teachers?" Parks asked the crowd. "This board's actions speak directly to our dedication, the support, and success of our teachers." The contentious claims about the district's financial mismanagement and unhealthy workplace practices date back months, including an October board meeting that required police presence and was followed by numerous teacher resignations. Kenyon is still facing backlash from teachers, and on February 3rd, an application for a recall petition serial number was filed with the Office of the Maricopa County School Superintendent, according to Four Liberty Kids Political Action Group, formed in January 2025 by parents of the district. Court Monroe, the superintendent of the district, is also facing backlash and calls for resignation. Before Parks, prior Liberty Board Elementary District Board President Michael Todd also resigned, citing alleged inaction by school staff regarding an assault on a school campus. The West Valley View reached out to the district for comment regarding the resignation. It did not respond to comment prior to publication. That was LESD Board President Resigns. Next, from the West Valley View, "Montecito Breaks Ground at Estrella," by Joe McHugh, West Valley View staff writer. Estrella recently broke ground on Montecito, a site that will feature more than 500 homes. This groundbreaking marks the start of 719 total new homes coming to Estrella. "We're 15% built out, that's it," said Goodyear Mayor Joe Pizzillo. "You're going to see a lot more, and I think we've got great partners here. We constantly have issues where legislators want to remove some of the homes that get built, but I know that with the partners that we have, are not going to shortcut." Estrella is one of the largest master-planned communities in Arizona. Located south of the I-10 freeway in Goodyear, it is adjacent to the 19,000-acre Estrella Regional Park and offers numerous amenities for residents to frequent. Those include residence clubs, fitness centers, restaurants, a water park, and grocery stores, among others. The home builders at the incoming sites want to mimic those offerings and expand the community further. "Estrella is in growth mode," said Jeff Zimmerman, Vice President of Development for Estrella Development Company. "We've improved so much, added new parks, neighborhoods, and so much more in 2024. But there's even more happening in 2025, as we prepare more than 500 new home sites coming to Montecito. These neighborhoods will have fantastic views and feature 5 brand new parks, not to mention access to our signature resident community centers, trails, pools, fitness centers, and A-plus ranked schools. We have dedicated ourselves to making today's Estrella more vibrant, fresh, and rewarding for buyers than ever before. With the addition of these new neighborhoods, we're excited by the momentum at Estrella. The new neighborhoods will offer a variety of home styles and floor plans to meet the diverse needs and preferences of modern singles, couples, and families. With construction commencing, the timeline for the facility illustrates that various models will open in spring and fall 2026, with the final anticipated park completion coming in summer 2028. That was Montecito Breaks Ground at Estrella. Our next news story, The BLVD Looking for New Business by Joe Mahue, West Valley View staff. The City of Avondale is seeking proposals for a commercial project in the BLVD, a mixed-use entertainment district. This request invites developers to invest in, design, construct, and operate a dynamic and engaging destination. The BLVD district boasts a diverse array of dining, entertainment, shopping, and recreational options. Surrounded by thriving communities and upscale residential communities, it draws both residents and visitors alike. With over 40,000 vehicles traveling along Avondale Boulevard and more than 250,000 on I-10 each day, the district benefits from significant traffic and accessibility. The resident population surpasses 100,000, with an average household income of $102,820, making Avondale an appealing investment opportunity for forward-thinking developers. The idea for the BLVD stretches back over 2 decades, when city leaders first envisioned a dynamic city center that would both serve the residents who live here and draw visitors from all over, said Avondale Mayor Mike Pineda. The city has worked hard over the years on a plan to bring this vision to life, and we are excited to bring more high-quality development to the BLVD. The city is inviting proposals from experienced development teams that have the financial capacity to implement the project efficiently and effectively. We especially encourage proposals that align with the city's vision for a sustainable, high-quality, and walkable entertainment district. We are thrilled to launch this highly anticipated RFP to the development community for the BLVD, Avondale's newest mixed-use destination. With luxury multifamily housing, high-performing hotels, and distinctive eateries surrounding the area, we eagerly look forward to the next phase, said Jen Stein, Avondale's Economic Development Director. The BLVD is home to the American Sports Complex, or ASC, one of the state's largest indoor multi-sport facilities, which attracts over 700,000 visitors each year. The area includes more than 2,000 luxury multifamily units, which accommodate over 6,000 residents, within walking distance of the BLVD. High-performing hotels in the vicinity also enjoy an average occupancy rate of 82.8%, reflecting robust demand for both accommodations and local amenities. Additionally, a 405-space parking garage is equipped with EV chargers. The BLVD also includes a 1-acre lake featuring a fountain, pedestrian bridges, a splash pad, and a competition-grade sand volleyball complex with spectacular seating. The city welcomes all proposals that meet the RFP requirements, but favors agreements that facilitate a smooth transition of ownership through a development agreement and a purchase and sale agreement. For more information and to access the full RFP, visit avondaleaz.gov. To learn more about Avondale's economic development initiatives, please visit avondaleedge.com. That was the BLVD looking for new businesses. Next, former El Mirage council member dies at 88, by Alicia Vetner, West Valley View staff writer. Former El Mirage council member Alman Al Cutright Jr. died on Saturday, January 25th, at 88 years old. As one of the first Black community leaders in the West Valley, Cutright is remembered by his family for his love of God and faith, promotion for the equality of all, and dedication to his El Mirage community. He's been on Earth for 88 years, and we started doing an obituary, and it just wasn't long enough, Irvin Cutright, his brother, said. The Cutright family is well known in the West Valley due to their civil service over the past decades. Linda Cutright was an advocate for equal rights and for COVID-19 vaccinations. She was the Dean of Student Services at Estrella Mountain Community College, was a licensed minister. Irvin Cutright, a leader and founder of the Peoria-based Northwest Black History Committee, has served on dozens of local, state, and federal boards and commissions. Olvin Shea Cutright was the first African-American interim police chief in Arizona. Alman, the older brother of Irvin, helped pave the way for his siblings to succeed, he said. The family is holding a funeral service for Cutright on Saturday, February 15th at 11 a.m. at Desert Cove Assembly. Cutright was born in Missouri on April 28, 1936, but he and his family moved to Arizona for job opportunities in the early 1950s. It was common, his brother said, for African-American families to emigrate for financial reasons, and he spent much of his young life helping his father make money through farming. The family would eventually grow to include 12 siblings, and together they were raised in the emerging El Mirage community. Self-made, Cutright started a trucking business and recycling business, the latter after recognizing the decline of the farming industry. Driven by his Christian faith, helped establish Bethesda Church of God in Christ in Avondale. As an adult, he ran for city council and served 4 terms starting 1993 to 2003. During his term, he served as vice mayor in 2000. El Mirage, back in the day, was pretty much predominantly Hispanic. Although he was not Hispanic, they all thought of him in a way to where they gave him his vote, and he kept winning and winning and winning, Irvin said. Beyond his political career, Cutright dedicated himself to equality for the Black community and other marginalized groups. He marched with Cesar Chavez when the civil rights activists came to El Mirage, and when Martin Luther King Jr. visited Tempe in 1964, he took several children, including Irvin, to the event. He met a lot of national personalities, and he became kind of a go-to guy for people in the community that felt like they were disenfranchised, Irvin said. Though he had no children himself, Cutright mentored tons in the community and has left an indelible mark on the nieces and nephews he leaves behind. I have a daughter that's inspired by him. You'll be hearing from her in the next election. She's inspired to run for office just because of things that Al had done on his own back in the day, Irvin said. That was former El Mirage council member dies at 88. Now it's time to go to the Wickenburg Sun. Our first article, Gold Rush Days Celebrates 76 Years, by Claire Halliburton, editor, posted on WickenburgSun.com February 12th. Produced by the Wickenburg Chamber of Commerce, the 76th annual Gold Rush Days weekend will commence Thursday, February 13th at 4 p.m. with the official opening of the carnival provided by Brown's Amusements in the Wickenburg Community Center parking lot, 160 North Valentine Street. Discounted pre-sale carnival wristbands are currently available at the Wickenburg Visitor Center at 216 North Frontier Street for just $35 each. On-site wristbands will be available for $45 all weekend, with the exception of the Buddy Day promotion on Thursday, where wristbands are buy one, get one half off. Someone's buddy must be present at the time of purchase until 8 p.m. Friday morning, February 14th, entertainment kicks off at 9 a.m. with a classic car show on Frontier Street and the Artisans Fair at Stone Park and the Public Library, 160 North Valentine Street. The car show will run until 2 p.m. and the Artisans Fair will conclude at 5 p.m. Trick roper Will Roberts will headline the official opening ceremonies of Gold Rush Days in front of the historic Santa Fe Depot, 216 North Frontier Street, at 10 a.m. People can expect to see Wickenburg's newly elected mayor, B.G. Bratcher, Master of Ceremonies Dwayne Middleton, and Chamber President Mary Kempton as they welcome everyone to this year's festivities. Also beginning at 10 a.m., Brown's Amusements will be running until 11 p.m. At 11 a.m., Gold Rush attendees can get into the spirit of the weekend by participating in gold panning, located directly next to the carnival, until 5 p.m. Friday's slack performance of the Senior Pro Rodeo will also begin at 11 a.m. at the Everett Bowman Rodeo Arena, located at 935 Constellation Road. The Del E. Webb Center for the Performing Arts, located at 1090 South Vulture Mine Road, will host Grammy-nominated band Little Texas at 7:30 p.m. for their first performance of the weekend. For tickets, visit dewpac.org or call the box office at 928-684-6624. Starting Saturday, February 15th at 9 a.m., Will Roberts will return to the Santa Fe Depot, 216 North Frontier Street, with a performance prior to the start of the parade. The Artisans Fair will also begin at 9 a.m. and will continue until 5 p.m. At 10 a.m., the famous Gold Rush Days Parade will make its way through the streets of Wickenburg. Led by this year's Grand Marshal, Bill Cowles, the estimated 75 floats will begin their procession down West Wickenburg Way and continue down Yavapai Street and Frontier Street before coming to an end on West Apache Street. Spectators can expect to see everything from classic cars, marching bands, youth groups, and so much more. While this year's theme is Spur of the Moment, most parade participants spend several weeks preparing their floats in the hopes of winning a prize from the parade judges, who will be located in front of the Chamber of Commerce building for the duration of the parade. Gold panning will continue to be available to participants on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Senior Pro Rodeo will start its first day of performances at Everett Bowman Arena, 935 Constellation Road, at 2 p.m. and will conclude at 4:30 p.m. Admission is $15 for adults, that's 18 plus, $10 for seniors, 60 plus, $5 for students 6 through 17, and admission for children 5 and under is free. For ticketing information, visit eventbrite.com or the Wickenburg Visitor Center. At 7:30 p.m., a second performance from Little Texas at the Del E. Webb Center, 1090 South Vulture Mine Road, will conclude Saturday's entertainment. For tickets, visit dewpac.org or call the box office at 928-684-6624. The last day of the Gold Rush Days celebration will take place on Sunday, February 16th. The Artisans Fair will be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Brown's Amusements will be open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and gold panning will continue from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Also beginning at 10 a.m. will be a cowboy church service with Cowboy Connection Ministry, which will take place at Everett Bowman Arena, 932 Constellation Road. The ever-popular mucking and drilling contest will start at 10 a.m. next to the carnival grounds, and champion gold panning will take place at 1 p.m., followed by the second performance of the Senior Pro Rodeo at Everett Bowman Arena from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Admission is $15 for adults, that's 18+, $10 for seniors, that's 60+, $5 for students age 6 through 17, and children 5 and under get in free. For more information on Gold Rush Days, visit outwickenburgway.com or wickenburgchamber.com. Call 928-684-5479 or email events@wickenburgchamber.com. That was Gold Rush Days Celebrates 76 Years. Our next article, Wickenburg Named Top Senior Travel Destination, by Claire Halliburton, editor, posted online February 12th. This January, Freedom Showers, a company that produces accessible showers and accessories for senior citizens, conducted a survey to find the top winter getaway destinations for seniors. Ranked 23rd out of 100, Wickenburg found itself in the running. According to a statement made by Freedom Showers, "As we age, our travel habits and preferences often evolve, with international trips becoming less appealing due to mobility challenges, health concerns, and logistical difficulties. Fortunately, the U.S. is home to an incredible array of winter getaway destinations, catering to every type of traveler. However, planning a winter vacation isn't always straightforward for every demographic." They continued, "Seniors in particular often face unique challenges when traveling. Accessible attractions, accommodations designed with mobility in mind, accessible transportation options, and senior-friendly dining options are critical factors that can make or break their vacation experience. In order to identify a potential list of senior-friendly vacation spots, Freedom Showers conducted a survey of 3,003 senior travelers to single out accessible spots across the country. The company stated, "The survey highlights not only their favorite destinations, but also the growing trend of seniors opting for domestic travel due to the enhanced accessibility standards in the U.S. and focusing on factors like ease of access, comfort, and activities suited to their needs." According to the survey responses, Freedom Showers stated that accessibility, comfort, and proximity to health care are critical factors influencing senior travel. And with over-tourism a growing concern, seniors are seeking alternatives to crowded tourist hotspots. They continued, "These types of small towns offer the perfect blend of tranquility and charm, creating memorable experiences away from the hustle and bustle." With the top 10 destinations all originating from the tropical states of Hawaii and Florida, several places in Arizona were also among the list, offering what Freedom Showers referred to as a desert oasis due to the state's temperate winters and outdoor activities. Regarding top destination number 23, the company stated, "Known for its western charm, Wickenburg is a senior-friendly winter destination with mild weather and engaging activities. The town offers accessible attractions like the Desert Caballeros Western Museum and scenic downtown walks. Excellent medical facilities and a strong community focus ensure a relaxing and enjoyable stay for older visitors." Alongside Wickenburg, ranked from 13th to 21st, were notable Arizona towns such as Florence, Bisbee, Green Valley, and Tubac. With thousands of small towns across the U.S. being visited every year by both young and old, Wickenburg has continued to make a name for itself, offering its Western charm and hospitality to all who visit. That was Wickenburg named top senior travel destination. Now we take a short break to remind you that you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, a 24-hour news and information service for people unable to read due to a disability. And this is the West Valley News Digest. We now turn to news of the week from the Glendale Independent. Our first story, Glendale City offices close for President's Day. Posted on yourvalley.net Glendale Independent, February 14th. City of Glendale offices will be closed on Monday, February 17th, in observance of President's Day, but residents will be able to access many services. Bus and streetcar services will run on a regular schedule. However, there will be no express rapid bus service on President's Day. The Glendale Microtransit Dial-A-Ride office will be closed on the holiday. Passengers who want to take a Dial-A-Ride vehicle on February 17th must make reservations by February 12th. ADA service will not be affected by President's Day. Glendale Urban Shuttle Routes 2 and 3 will not operate February 17th, but GUS Route 1 will operate on a regular schedule on the holiday. To learn about Glendale's public transportation schedules and routes, visit publictransportation-cityofglendale. Residential garbage, recycling, and bulk trash collection will take place on a normal schedule on February 17th. However, the Glendale Municipal Landfill will be closed to the public. To learn about garbage and recycling collection schedules, visit residentialservices-cityofglendale. Glendale's recreation and community centers will be closed on President's Day, as will the city's libraries. Visit Glendale Administrative Offices and Visitor Centers will be closed. The Glendale Regional Airport Administrative Building will be closed on President's Day, but the airport itself will be open, as it is every day. Its terminal building will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on February 17th. For information about Glendale's programs and services, visit www.glendaleaz.com. That was Glendale City Offices Close for President's Day. Next, Glendale PD says car crash into tanker may have been suicide attempt. Posted February 13th on yourvalley.net Glendale Independent. According to a suspect's statement to the Glendale Police Department, he was attempting to commit suicide when he drove into a tanker truck at 8:30 a.m. February 12th near 57th Avenue and Camelback Road in Glendale. The suspect, Joshua Denton, 27, told police he wanted to kill himself, so he purposely drove into the tanker, thinking he would blow up or explode. After the crash, he realized the tanker carrying liquid oxygen did not blow up, so he took a lighter and began lighting his Hyundai Elantra on fire. Around this time, Glendale police showed up. Denton said he then charged towards the officers with the intent to commit suicide by cop, hoping the police would shoot him, which did not happen. Instead, police used tasers to subdue him and took Denton into custody after a struggle. According to azfamily.com, two people inside the tanker truck were able to escape as it went up in flames. Another driver involved in the crash was hospitalized with minor injuries as a Jeep Grand Cherokee and a Mazda 3 were damaged by the collision. Denton was then taken to the hospital with minor injuries and was cleared medically and then transported to the MCSO jail. The tanker was doused with water and the spill contained. According to AZ Family, nearby businesses and apartment complexes were evacuated due to the large amount of smoke and the possibility of an explosion. Denton has been charged with arson of an occupied structure, arson of a property, aggravated assault, endangerment, and criminal damage. That was Glendale PD says car crash into tanker may have been suicide attempt. Next, new location for Deer Valley Unified's 2025 graduations. Scheduling conflict changes venue, but event still inside Westgate in Glendale, by Steve Stockmar, posted online February 13th. Deer Valley Unified School District's Class of 2025 will get their diplomas in a new location this spring. While the district, as well as others in the valley, has for years gathered graduates from its 5 high schools at State Farm Stadium for commencement ceremonies, a scheduling conflict this May will instead move the graduations, though not very far. Graduates will get their diplomas this spring at Desert Diamond Arena, just north of the Arizona Cardinals Stadium, inside the Westgate Entertainment District. The scheduled dates for graduation haven't changed, just the location. The class of 2025 from Boulder Creek, 1:30 p.m., Deer Valley, 4:30 p.m., and Goldwater High School's, 7 p.m., will celebrate on Thursday, May 15th. Graduates from O'Connor, 1:30 p.m., and Mountain Ridge, 4:30 p.m., will walk across the stage on Friday, May 16th. DVUSD and staff at all 5 of our high schools are committed to celebrating our graduating seniors and creating a memorable day for their families, the district wrote in a statement to parents and families on Wednesday. What caused the venue bump is unclear. The district noted that a larger event is being scheduled for the venue that will take precedence over our dates currently scheduled. As of Thursday, the stadium's event calendar shows The Weeknd playing at State Farm on May 9th and Kendrick Lamar performing on site May 27th, though nothing on other May dates. To minimize inconvenience, graduations for Deer Valley Unified School District and other impacted districts will be held at Desert Diamond Arena, a first-class venue across the street, State Farm Stadium Regional Director of Marketing and PR, Rebecca Mobley, wrote in an email Thursday. State Farm Stadium has worked closely with district officials to ensure a smooth transition for students, families, and school staff. The venue is owned by the Arizona Sports and Tourism Authority and operated by ASM Global. A question to ASM on what larger event is scheduled at that time was not immediately answered. Back in February of 2023, the Deer Valley Unified School District Governing Board voted to award a contract to ASM Global to rent State Farm Stadium for high school graduations, with the option to renew annually for up to 4 additional 1-year terms, beginning with May 2024 and May 2028. The estimated annual district expenditure for the proposal was $98,680. A district spokesperson on Thursday said that the Fiscal and Business Services Office is still analyzing any potential cost differential. That was new location for Deer Valley Unified's 2025 graduations. Now we go to news of the week from the Peoria Independent. El Mirage Road could get extension in Peoria. Posted on yourvalley.net Peoria Independent, February 13th. El Mirage Road in Peoria could get a 2-mile extension from Loop 303 to Joe Max Road. The City of Peoria, Arizona Department of Transportation, Maricopa County, and other agencies are asking for public input on the potential extension. This project is being designed to improve traffic flow and access to the Loop 303 in the Northwest Valley. Currently, there is no funding for final design or construction of the project. The public can get a first look at what those improvements might look like at a public open house, 5:30 to 7 p.m., February 26th, at Lake Pleasant Elementary School, 31501 North Westland Road. The recorded presentation will run several times throughout the evening, and display boards and other exhibits will be available for review. Those who are unable to attend can view the presentation materials at www.elmirageroadextension.com/resources under the Resources tab. A design concept report and environmental assessment are underway to evaluate roadway improvements such as lane configuration, pedestrian and bicycle use, drainage improvements, right-of-way impacts, traffic impacts, and other considerations. They will also evaluate the potential environmental effects that could result from future implementation of the new roadway segment, as well as potential traffic impacts if no action is taken to improve the road. Environmental topics to be addressed include, but are not limited to, biological resources, cultural resources, water resources, hazardous materials, traffic noise, and air quality. A 30-day comment period runs from February 26th to March 28th. There are three ways to provide input and ask questions. Email info@elmirageroadextension.com. By mail, Avenue Consultants / El Mirage Road Extension, 5335 North 16th Street, Suite 380, Phoenix, Arizona, 85016. The online survey at https://www.elmirageroadextension.com. And for more information on this subject, visit www.elmirageroadextension.com. That was El Mirage Road Could Get Extension in Peoria. Next, Peoria Unified School Counselor honored with statewide award, posted online February 13th. Marcy Bieber, the lead school counselor at Peoria Unified, received the 2025 Arizona School Counselor of the Year Award from the Arizona School Counselors Association. Bieber was recognized at an award ceremony on February 4th and is now eligible for the National School Counselor of the Year, which will be selected in January 2026. Bieber has served Peoria Unified as an elementary counselor, a high school counselor, and has held the role as a lead district counselor for the past 6 years. To be eligible to win this award, applicants must have 5 years full-time experience as a practicing school counselor, hold a master's degree in counseling, and be certified as a school counselor by the state, according to a news release. The judging criteria includes a number of requirements. Evidence of the implementation of a comprehensive data-driven school counseling program, such as the ASCA national model, and have been responsible for school counseling innovations or further development of programs supporting students' academic, career, and personal social development. Leadership and collaboration in her work and promote access to opportunities and rigorous educational experiences for all students to maximize student achievement. Applicants must also demonstrate collaboration with stakeholders. Continual professional development as well as proof of advocacy for the professional and/or students. The ability and skills necessary to represent school counseling in a professional manner, including but not limited to high-quality written communication and public speaking skills. Maintain the highest standards of personal conduct and recognize that his/her personal conduct is held up to public scrutiny. Applicants strive to be model citizens of their community, as well as the school counseling community and their broader professional community. They maintain high moral standards in their personal and professional conduct. Among many other attributes, Bieber's colleagues share that she is passionate about the education and career action plan process, preparing students for their future academic and career goals, the news release states. She has been instrumental in introducing a comprehensive Web 2.0-based tool to enhance the ECAP process, ensuring its effectiveness and accessibility for students, the district said. Demonstrating strong leadership, Bieber has equipped the district's team of school counselors with the tools and resources necessary for success by streamlining workflows to balance student capacity. Bieber stays up to date on best practices and processes within the district's student information system, ensuring her staff's approach to offering guidance to students remain efficient and impactful. That was Peoria Unified School Counselor honored with statewide award. Next, Peoria will continue to see utility rate increases. By Philip Haldeman, posted on yourvalley.net, Peoria Independent, February 11th. Cities across the valley have seen steep utility rate jumps in recent years, and it appears the rates in Peoria won't level off anytime soon either. Deputy Finance Director Peter Christensen said during a City Council study session, residents should expect another few years of pretty robust rate increases. He said the increases are partially due to labor costs, inflation, and long-term water security. The city has commissioned a utility rate study and is expecting results early this year. Utilities are costly operations, he said. I would expect that we will see another few years of pretty robust rate increases to be needed just to deal with. It is mostly driven by capital at this point, addressing water security issues as well as some economic development, Christensen said. Expect city staff to come before council in the coming months to present different options. Peoria residents have experienced significant rate hikes in recent years for water, wastewater, and storm water solid waste. In 2023, after a utility rate study, City Council approved rate increases for fiscal years 2024 and 2025. In the coming fiscal year, residents will see a 7.1% increase for water, wastewater, and an 8.4% increase for stormwater solid waste. Previously, the city had, in general, experienced incremental increases over the years. That was Peoria will continue to see utility rate increases. Next, Centennial High School student dies in side-by-side vehicle accident. Posted online February 10th. A side-by-side vehicle accident in Phoenix has left one teen dead and another in the hospital with critical injuries. Nolan Allen Coughlin, 16, a student at Centennial High School in Peoria, suffered fatal injuries in the accident. The second person in the crash was also sent to the hospital with critical injuries, but police have not updated his status. Phoenix police officers responded to a paved jogging path in the area of 47th Avenue and Choya Street regarding a single vehicle collision involving a side-by-side vehicle and resulting in serious injuries to the two occupants at 5:15 p.m. February 6th. When police officers and fire personnel arrived, they found the two teens, one adult male and Coughlin, both with serious injuries. Phoenix Fire Department personnel extricated both teens from the vehicle, and both were taken to nearby hospitals. Coughlin did not survive his injuries and was pronounced dead. The adult male remains in the hospital and is listed in critical condition. Preliminary information suggests that the side-by-side vehicle was being driven by Coughlin when it lost control and collided with a nearby fence, police say. After going through the fence, the vehicle fell several feet down an embankment before coming to rest. That was Centennial High School student dies in side-by-side vehicle accident. Now we go to the Surprise Independent. First article, Surprise residents asked to comment on desert rural zoning plans. Posted on YourValley.net Surprise Independent, February 14th. Surprise residents and rural residential property owners are encouraged to review the first draft of code changes for the proposed Desert Rural Zoning District, which is available on the surprise.az.gov/desert-rural webpage. Feedback will be taken through Sunday, March 2nd. The City of Surprise presented the first draft of code changes for the proposed Desert Rural Zoning District during a community meeting on January 29th. Using the Comment on Draft button on the webpage, residents can view the proposed municipal code changes and comment on all 11 sections of the 76-page document individually. As part of the proposed Desert Rural Zoning District, the city will need to initiate an effort to rezone properties within both the rural residential overlay and the corporate limits that wish to be rezoned. All eligible properties consenting to this rezone will be put on one application and considered by both the Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council at the same time, with no charge to the owners. To roll out this new zoning district, the city needs consent from property owners to rezone their properties. The city can utilize two main approaches to gather this consent: an opt-in or an opt-out approach. Residents and rural residential property owners are encouraged to decide, as a majority, which approach to take by noting their preference using the Submit Your Preference button on the surprise.az.gov/desert-rural webpage. City staff will collect resident comments from the submissions starting in March and will continue to incorporate the feedback. An updated document will then be presented to the community at a future community meeting this spring. Residents can sign up for notifications about the process, learn about the Desert Rural Zoning designation, including a list of frequently asked questions, see the Desert Rural Overlay map, view past meeting materials, or check on any upcoming meeting dates at surprise.az.gov/desert-rural. That was Surprise residents asked to comment on desert rural zoning plans. Next, from the Surprise Independent, Surprise police arrest Mesa coach for alleged crimes with minors by Jason Stone, posted online February 14th. Mesa Dobson football head coach Richard Godsell was arrested on campus Thursday morning and charged with crimes involving youth, but unrelated to students at the school. Surprise police arrested Godsell and charged him with furnishing harmful items to minors and aggravated luring of a minor for sexual exploitation. This investigation is ongoing, and no additional information will be released until next week, said Surprise Police Public Information Officer Chris Thomas. Thomas would not say why his department was involved in the arrest or if the alleged crimes took place in Surprise. Godsell was hired at Dobson in 2019 after coaching at Coolidge High School. He is also in his first year as the Mustangs junior varsity baseball coach. In addition to coaching, Godsell is the physical education teacher at the school. Dobson principal Gabby Buckley informed parents of the arrest on Thursday. Godsell has been placed on administrative leave during the investigation. Next, traffic signal coming near new surprise fire station and pool. Posted online February 13th. The City of Surprise will activate a new traffic signal at the intersection of Cactus and Perryville Roads on Tuesday, February 18th. The new signal will activate at 4 a.m. Tuesday and flash red for 48 hours before beginning normal operation at 4 a.m. on Thursday, February 20th. Motorists should be mindful of this traffic control change and treat the flashing red lights the same as a four-way intersection with stop signs. Additionally, all construction barricades are expected to be removed from the roadway on February 18th. This will mark the completion of the improvements to the intersection, which widened east and westbound Cactus to 3 lanes and widened Perryville south of the intersection to 3 northbound lanes. These improvements were planned in conjunction with the construction of the city's new aquatic center and park, which are expected to open in May, and Fire Station 309, which opened February 3rd. That was traffic signal coming near new surprise fire station and pool. Our last article, African Grocery Store Opens Doors in Surprise, posted online February 13th. African and Caribbean food has arrived in Surprise thanks to the new Africa Staples Market, which officially opened with a ribbon cutting on February 12th. Owners Ada Gabo and Hassan Bondu participated in the ribbon cutting alongside Mayor Kevin Sartor, City Councilmember Earl Greenberg, Economic Development Director Janine Jerkovic, and others. The market is at 12801 West Bell Road, Suite 111. It's open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays and closed on Sundays. For more information, visit africastaples.com. And that concludes this week's edition of the West Valley News Digest. I'm Gayla, your volunteer reader. Thank you for joining me, and please stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona.